We're going to talk about March Madness.
Love,
we're going to talk
radio.
About the level of healing from betrayal trauma and finding your self-love. Because I found that this was near and dear to my heart. It almost made me really cry. And I really wanted to speak to the ladies and men who are going through a level of relationship trauma, betrayal trauma, or some level in depth of you've been through something and you love somebody and they may not love you back. Or a combination of you've been with people for a very long time, things change, and the relationship fall apart. And when we talk about a level and layer of getting yourself back and finding yourself love, it is not easy to do, especially after you've been through some level and layer of some type of trauma. And it changes you. It changes your outlook on life, and it changes who you are personally, professionally, and then physically and emotionally. And a lot of people are taking this subject matter about Derek Jackson and his wife. And here's the thing. I don't have much to say about that because I look at it like this. If I was in her shoes, I would want my privacy. I would want a level layer of people respecting me and the privacy of my marriage, even though it may or may not be falling apart. And how a person handles their marriage sets the tone of what's going to happen further. So I wanted everybody to understand it from that mindset and from a level and layer of trying to get to a place of contentment and a point of contention that, you know, everybody's marriage is not designed the same way and all marriages are not created equal or designed the same way to work the same as everybody else's. Some marriages may have an entanglement. Some marriages may not. Some marriages do have some infidelity, and maybe it's known. Maybe some marriages are arranged in such a way that people will be able to live in their marriages and live in their truth, or they live privately with whatever they decide to do. It's really not our business to worry about it. But I've watched a great live. As much as I might drag the heck out of some people, I will still give them a level and depth of respect because The All About the Tea on YouTube did a great review about it because I think that there was a lot of things that we all missed. If you're not inclined to psychiatry, psychology, you will have picked it up. I picked it up because I was like, wow, you know, there's a lot of things that were missing in the grain of salt with the levels and depths of how to deal with a marriage or marital woes and marital infidelity and also, you know, cheating. Everybody likes to be the one to be in the seat to say what they would and would not do if it was them. And here's the thing. Until you went through that situation, you'll never know how you really feel about marriage and relationship trauma and betrayal until it happens to you. So a lot of people who are making fun of the young lady and saying that she looked homely, okay, how do you expect somebody to look after they've been cheated on? How do you expect somebody to look after they've gone through marital problems up and down for a very long time? This is the same thing with non-marital and dating, which is why I told you guys I have nothing really big time to say. Because when I think about it, I'm thinking about, dang, you know, what if this was me? Would I want somebody all up in my business? Would I want somebody all up in my business to the point that I'm feeling like there's a level and layer of everybody picking my marriage apart but me? So before we get started in the nitty-gritty and nuts and bolts about coping with levels of stress and conflict resolution skills, and then on top of that, a level of betrayal trauma recovery, we're going to talk about all of this because that's part of the subject, and I want you guys to understand how it goes in with marriage. Because I told you guys I wanted to have a deep conversation about a level and layer about marital problems and relationships and dating and relationship counseling and things like that. And as a life coach, wellness coach, divorce coach, health coach, and a relationship coach, I want you guys to understand that this is one of the key areas that I work with. And I want people to understand why I chose a level of relationship counseling, divorce counseling, and things like that as a chosen niche. I have been through levels and layers of relationships that were ups and downs for a number of years, and some of them were traumatic, and some of them were betraying, and some of them I'm still recovering from. But I learned how to separate my personal from my profession, and as a life coach, wellness coach, health coach, divorce coach, and business grandeur, and as well as a mentor, I want people to understand that when I picked up this niche, it's because it hit close to home. And I didn't have a lot of people to really give me the good advice that I really needed or that shoulder to cry on. So here's the thing. People always say, well, why put the people in your business? Why go to see them folks? You mean a counselor, a health coach, a wellness coach, a divorce coach, a marital counselor? where a lot of people have made it taboo to go see someone and get help. A lot of people want to pick apart these people's marriages who are celebrities, and I personally will not have anything to say about it because I don't want to laugh at somebody else's pain. I don't want to laugh at somebody else's betrayal trauma. I've been there. I don't find it funny because I can see the signs of completely being broken down emotionally, mentally feeling some type of way, and feeling a level of betrayal so bad to where you don't even want to dress up. You don't want to wear makeup. And for all the ill-retarded in the back who like to make fun of somebody who's clearly looking depressed and upset and dejected because it's probably the umpteenth bajillion time that they've been betrayed, there's nothing funny about that. So I want people to understand why it's imperative for us to become what we call emotionally intelligent, meaning being able to pick on what we call pick up the verbal cues or the emotional psychological cues. And what's important in psychological cues is knowing when somebody is crying out for help or upset and seeing that their dejectedness, their homeliness is because they've probably been cheated on so many times they're tired. And then there's a level and layer of embarrassment and humiliation at a public global level that can do something to someone. And you have to watch that because when you publicly humiliate someone or you torment them in the manner that it's either your spouse has cheated on you multiple times, everybody knows it but you, or you do know it and you're aware of it, but it's becoming a public problem, then it becomes up for fodder for everybody else to talk about. I've been in that woman's shoes. So I wanted to be able to do this live and do it authentically. Okay, I thought about doing it formatted, but I was like, you know what? I just would rather do it with a little bit of both so that you guys understand how important it is to have these conversations about marriage and fidelity and betrayal trauma and what it does to you. Because I also give courses on betrayal trauma and recovery and divorce recovery. And even if you're going to stay with your spouse, there is a level of relationship therapy and recovery that I do. So I want you guys to understand it from that point of view. And as a wellness coach, life coach, health coach, when you call 833-IMCC or 844 my appointment or 833-BOOK-ME-TOO, when you go for children, adolescents, young adults, coaching therapy, I want you guys to understand how important it is. You may also call in live to the show at 515-602-9765. You may also do Cash App Love Offerings for IMCC, and that's $IMCC Coaching, $DonDivaCoaching, $TeamWorldOnline, or $TalkRadioDiva, the power to do more with the Talk Radio Diva, myself, CC. And then on top of that, I want you to be able to log on to TalkRadioDiva.com, and that is the power to do more. You get the QR code, and you may be able to sign up for monthly donations to our talk radio station and be able to go and see our different things that we have to bring you the fresh, newest content and more. So with that being said, I want you guys to understand how important and imperative it is, back to the nitty-gritty, the nuts and bolts, about what we have going on here. So when we think about healing from betrayal trauma and finding yourself love, it's not easy to do after somebody betrays you. It's not easy to do after someone hurts you emotionally and then mentally. So when we're not just talking about the levels of sexual or anything physical, the worst wound you can have is a psychological wound. The worst wound you can ever have is an emotional wound. And what you can ever have is an embarrassing, humiliating wound. So we're going to talk about that. And I want you guys to understand how it shapes the narrative of how this woman is looking, how she's feeling, so we can all become more emotionally intelligent and be a little bit nicer. Because I read the comments that people were saying about this lady. Oh, Steph, I can see why he cheated. And she's so homely looking. I'm thinking to myself, you guys are the biggest a-holes in the world. Like, come on, you douche canoe. She just got cheated on for the millionth time. Not funny. You know, and it's just like I thought about many times when I didn't want to dress up. I didn't want to do my hair. I just want to go and look pretty. I just felt all frumpy and dumpy and kind of a little lumpy. Not like really lumped up, but I felt bad. So when we think about all these different things, it does something to you as a person to have somebody who you've been with forever and a day, grew up with, or known forever and a day, and they cheat on you. And they go and it's kind of like having your heart bust wide open and somebody just stamps on it and just Harlem shakes on it. It's like, oh, lean back. And you're just like, oh, wow, really? He just really didn't care about how it feels, did he? So when I tell you guys it's important as a life coach, wellness coach, health coach, and things like that, I want you guys to understand that there's a level of safe marriage and safe dating, as well as there is a level of safe levels of repairing your marriage after infidelity or betrayal trauma. But that takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of couple therapy, and it takes a lot of emotional therapy, and also a level of psychological therapy. That's why I'm very adamant about you guys seeing a psychiatrist, psychologist, or a therapist, a life coach, wellness coach, but a therapist, unless they're an MD, ARNP, or a PA, They cannot diagnose you. So you'll need an interim gap of a therapist, life coach, health coach, wellness coach, and things like that to hit the small things and whatnot. But when it comes to diagnoses, then you'll go with an ARMP, a nurse practitioner, or a PA, physician's assistant, or a physician. So when you think about this as a psychiatrist, psychologist, you have to think about the psychological damage that it does to anybody, whether you're male, female, trans, or in between, or whatever you identify as. So I wanted you guys to understand that from that narrative and for us to go to the next part of it, which is where we have to figure out, where do I go from here after he's cheated or she's cheated? And I don't want to go and have this as a male bashing session. That's why I said he or she. But just one moment. Let's get into that. Because when we think about divorce recovery, we think about that in a whole nother level of if you decide to divorce and things like that and how to heal from anger, hurt, or resentment, building up a life post-separation. That's one thing. But when we're talking about a level of couple therapy and trying to go and rebuild your relationship or trying to rebuild a level layer of infidelity that's happened, then you're talking about a level layer of we have to work this out, honey, or I want to work this out, especially if you're in the church and things like that. You're taught to, you know, if there's infidelity and things like that, you try to work it out first before you decide to go to a level of divorce. And most of the time, you're going to try multiple times to work things out, couple therapy, and have a religious sector or a person there in the church that's going to help you through that if they are a well-versed person in relationship therapy and marital counseling and things like that. So when I tell you it's highly recommended when you have a multiple level layer of betrayal and trauma to go see a certified therapist or a life coach or something like that on top of seeing a psychiatrist, psychologist, or specialist in that area, because there may be underlying trauma on top of that that's being added on there. And if you can't recognize the signs of somebody breaking down, then some of you guys are not emotionally intelligent, because to see a woman look so dejected and so defeated and to see the level of emptiness in her eyes, there's no brightness, no light in her eyes, that's a level of being beat down so bad because it's happened one too many times. We just don't know it. Or we can assume allegedly that it might have happened more than one time. I've been there. I've been that woman where there is no light in your eyes. You feel dead inside and you look dead inside. And a person will sit there and look at you like, what's wrong with you, man? You look like you've been through it. And with that being said, that's what I meant by emotional intelligence. So let's talk about betrayal trauma. And I told you guys, we've been through one seminar session of this, but I wanted to go to a level of being able to go from where you have an emotional breakup or emotional breakdown of your relationship and finding a way to emotionally heal from it. So I want you guys to understand that from this level of the modules that I have for my course, I want you guys to understand that it's important to, we talked about the psychological part. We talked about how that affects us psychologically before. So I'm going to skim over that right quick, and then we're going to go into the actual nitty-gritty and nuts and bolts part. Just one more, y'all. My machine, my bag. Too good. All right, let's get it back. And what I want you guys to understand in the course is it teaches us how to heal from a breakdown or breakup of our marriage or a relationship and healing from the hurts that happened to us, or how to leave our relationship intact, mentally safe, emotionally safe, and then on top of that, finding joy again and self-love again, and then how to let go of our losses and things like that, and then on top of that, getting past the emotional trauma of it all and the betrayal of it all and getting past the levels and depths of breaking up is hard to do or repairing our marriage is hard to do. And then on top of that, how do you move from the breakup or a rekindling of your marriage or marital vows without reliving the trauma again? And then are you stuck in a world of hurt and you need to break free from that and have a breakthrough in the sense of freeing yourself from the pain and suffering mentally, emotionally, that comes with betrayal and trauma? And then, you know, when you think about that, we're talking about a level of recovery that has to be done. So when we're talking about that, that's one thing. But when we're talking about another layer of healing, you know, top secrets to healing from betrayal or after betrayal, that's another level, a layer of work. And that's inner work that has to be done. And when I tell you guys that it's not easy to do, we're talking about the secret Krabby Patty sauce to there's no way around it. Betrayals hurt. So when you think about it, whenever you've been betrayed by someone or whenever you've been betrayed by someone, whether it's a spouse, a friend, it's difficult to recover. And when we think about this, the good news is, however, after things are done and whatnot, you have to figure out to help speed up the level of recovery so you can move on from it. And then with your life and your life daily things that you do. Now, if you're a wife and mother, and we've all been either common-law wife, a whole wife, or a whole fiance, and been in a living situation where either kids are involved, kids are not involved, or a level of marital things that are going on, and or if you are preparing to be married and you have some life-changing event that and they're altering your route to getting married to that person, it can come to a level of you have to be able to move forward regardless of, in spite of, and look forward to a brighter future. So when we think about this, we think about strategies that can help, but we need to understand the trauma itself and understand what caused it and what has caused that layer of feeling violated and recognize the betrayal. Because here's the strategy, and this is a Krabby Patty secret sauce chart to getting your heart back from being broken. And then on top of that, especially when you've been betrayed or if you've been cheated on or if you're in a level of infidelity that's happened to you. Give me just one moment, y'all. Hi, how are you? Good seeing you. How are you, baby? So, and when we talk about a level and layer of recognizing the betrayal or the trauma, I'm doing good. When we think about the levels of the betrayal and the trauma, we have to think about recognizing where the betrayal came from. You might try to block out the betrayal so you don't have to think about it. That's cognitive dissonance. And a lot of times when you're sitting up there in a relationship, in a marriage, how have I been doing lately? Pretty good. Pretty good. I've been trying to work on things one day at a time. I had some snafus with the internet and the cable company and the tampering with the IP address and the network, but it's getting back better. Thank you for asking. How have you been doing lately, darling? Ah, I missed you too. I'm back live and trying to do everything the best way I can. I'm on the radio show. You can call in if you want to, 515-602-9765. I do appreciate you attending the show. Tell people about it as long as I know how to act right. I need my mod squad. Yeah, it's up and down like an elevator, but you got to take the stairs sometimes to get to where you got to get at, right? So, anyway, back to you guys. When we talk about a level and layer of trying to ignore a betrayal trap, and that's being in the trap of being in a level of a relationship or in a marriage. And when we talk about a level of relationship trauma, marital trauma, you have to really have unconditional love and really love that person and love them through the trauma. And when I'm telling you guys, I want to have this conversation genuinely with you guys because I've been through it. I had a person who was like a spouse to me, and I truly loved that man. And the thing is, I never knew what love was until I loved him, even when the long after the commitment left me. And I had to realize that I still loved him no matter what he did. And so that is true love. But the thing is, sometimes you can have a true love scam because they may not love you the same way. So there's a level and layer of you get past that trauma, and then say you get married and you meet this new guy, right? And he loves you and loves your soul, but you've got all this hurt. And you got all this stuff that you got to unpack. Sometimes you got to get somebody that loves you enough to take that package from you and take that baggage and says, hey, you know what? I want to love the hurt away from you. But you cannot love the hurt away from someone else did it. What you have to do is I want to get to a point so I can love you in the right way so you can forget about what happened. So with that being said, Derek Jackson's situation is one of a tried and true of relationships. Yeah, I know, right? So when we think about a level of relationship and marriage and, you know, being in the church, I was raised in the church. So when we talk about the Kojic church and the non-Kojic church, and we're talking about secular church, we're talking about Episcopalian, we're talking about Pentecostal, talking about Baptist, Catholic, all the things that we go to church, we are all human, okay? So with that being said, we have to realize even people who are professionals make mistakes. Now, whether or not it's repeated mistakes and it needs to be looked into as a level and layer of couples therapy, relationship therapy, marital counseling, that's a whole different ballgame. That's why I said I wasn't going to pick him apart and I have no opinion for their marriage because I have yet to have fixed my own personal life to the point that I'm sitting in a good space to be able to say, oh, you shouldn't be doing this and you shouldn't be doing that. I'll never probably do that anyway. Here's the reason why. Love me right. Yeah, I love you, heart. And when we talk about loving someone the right way, it's loving someone and loving them flaws and all. And my thing is, when you have a level of why did I get married, where you're having a nice front for everybody else, but your marriage is a train wreck behind closed doors, or your marriage is becoming a level layer of betrayal, trauma, and betrayals, betrayals, betrayals. Nobody knows what's going on. Or your relationship or your dating situation is like that, and nobody knows exactly what's really going on behind closed doors because y'all put on a good front. That's why I've never wanted to present that my life is perfect. I never wanted to be put on a pedestal where people could kick me off of it if I supposedly have this perfect marriage, perfect relationship, and then somebody goes and says, well, I heard he cheats on her all the time. Well, okay, I know he cheated. Mm-hmm. I caught him. And I almost got beat down to sleep because he got caught, and I wanted to leave him. And let me tell you something. After I've been choked by a man because he got caught cheating, it changed my perspective on how you approach things. And then, too, on top of that, I didn't do anything to warrant being choked. But when he did that, he snapped because he realized he'd been dogging me out for a minute. And he'd been doing it. People had been telling me he's out and about with another female out at the club. And I was like, oh, so one down, I decided I'm going to go after the club. And let me tell you something. It freed me to catch him in the act. It was a girl with her butt parked on his dick. It's the same girl that keyed my car. And I'm telling you guys this story because it's a personal thing, but I want you guys to learn from it. The girl actually ended up being very wound up about him because it's depending on what lies he told her. And a lot of people don't understand, like, when I was comparing it to Derrick Jackson's situation, I had to look at it from the inside looking out and outside looking in because I've been in the wife's shoes, and I've been as a common-law wife, a girlfriend, a fiance, and things like that. And being with someone for so long, you have a history of being with someone for 10 years. It is a long time to be with someone. You get used to them and some of their behaviors and their mechanisms of how they groom you to get used to some of their undesirable behaviors, but because you love them, you will let them slide on a lot of things until they slide and their figure skate on you, and then when you finally get sick and tired of it, put your foot down, and you actually catch them in wrongdoing, or it finally comes out, some girl gets bold enough to say, yeah, I'm screwing your man, they're like, what? Oh, it's not like, who sent you? It's almost like, I can't believe that you're doing this, sir. I did. So in that type of situation, we got to put ourselves in that woman's shoes, put that woman first and put her mindset and how she's feeling. I'm sure she's humiliated. I'm sure she's really emotionally feeling some type of damage. And I'm sure she's feeling some type of level and depth of humiliation to the point that it's like, we need to check on her. Sis, do you need to tell somebody, are you okay? You know, it's a level and layer to that that y'all don't understand. And when we're talking about a level and layer of that to understand it, from how do you feel when you catch somebody in the act versus somebody telling you about that, it's about one and the same. Because when we think about all this and we think about what somebody did and we think about the levels and layers of how far a person will take their cheating and their infidelity, you may or may not be able to handle it psychologically, or you might actually end up snapping. And this woman, I'm watching a woman so broken emotionally and seeing her mannerisms, and I remember how I looked after I've been through that. And once that happens, you don't want to dress up. You don't want to do your hair. You don't want to sit up there and do anything. You don't even want to look pretty anymore because you feel unpretty. And y'all remember that song by TLC, Unpretty, where the girl was sitting up there and, you know, they sung the song Left Eye and T-Boss and Chili, and the song's Unpretty. And I thought about it. I was like, I'm sure at this moment she feels unpretty, but she's beautiful. I saw pictures of her. And I was like, oh, my God, his wife is gorgeous. Why would you cheat on her? And but when people sat there and said, well, she looks so homely, I can see why he cheated. I'm thinking to myself, like, ma'am, sir, do you realize that this woman's heart is broken? She probably admires her husband, loves him deeply, and never expected to get cheated on. Can you have at least empathy for that? Don't worry about how she looks. Worry about how her mental health is going. Worry about how her emotional health is going. Worry about how she's feeling right now. Because any woman, and I don't care who you are, you can be the strongest woman in the world. When somebody cheats on you, it does something to you mentally, emotionally, and inside your mind, there's a level of, if I was not so God out of you, I would. But if I know I got a lot to lose, I'm not going to go upside your head, sir. Well, I promise you it's going to take the act of God to keep me from not wanting to knock you out. And that's what she's probably feeling. She's just not showing it. And she's mastered the art of what we call masking. And as a level of a life coach, wellness coach, and relationship coach, I've been taught emotional intelligence, and plus I also know it because I'm an empath. I can tell when somebody's hurting. I have to feel her emotion through the clothing that she had on. She had black clothing on. She's looking stoic, and she's looking very calm. The too calm for her own good type of calm. That's that calm of episode of Snap. If he says one more thing, I might beat him to sleep. That's what she looks like. She looks like she's emotionally broken. She looks like she's dejected and defeated, like this has happened one too many times. I'm tired of being humiliated, embarrassed, and I'm fed up with it. So it's kind of like, instead of it's like, come on with it, it's almost like, oh, my God, again. That's the look she has on her face. And I wanted everybody to understand that there's no revenge dress for that feeling of defeat. There is no revenge makeover that's going to make you feel better. There is no level of, you know, return of the mat that's going to make you feel better, especially when you love that person, especially if it's your husband. So a lot of people don't think about that when they're making comments or saying something about someone. So I had to have empathy with this woman, and I wanted to have empathy for her because nobody had any empathy for me when I went through it. And when I tell you that you have to recognize the betrayal to get to a point of recovery, and you have to get to a point of being able to cope with the fact that somebody really violated the sanctity or the bounds of your marriage or your relationship, there's a level of layer of it's healthier to accept the betrayal and deal with it than deal suppress it, because you get to that eerie calm, that unhealthy calm, that calm that's like, okay, dude, you better sleep with one eye open. She might F you up for real, you know, and it's not that she's trying to, but she might if you push her one more good time. One good time, bruh. You're skating on thin ice with this one. It's one of those moments where you better hope she's got Adrian with you, because you've done it one too many times and assuming allegedly. So when we're talking about this in my sense of how I've been through it, and I'm turning this around as a health coach, a life coach, a divorce coach, a wellness coach, certified, I want you guys to understand what that means. It means that it's important to address the issues to learn how to manage them so you don't end up at first 48 or Snap. Then you have to learn to move past the betrayal, especially if you have to take action to help heal yourself or cope, or learn how to deal with the infidelities behind closed doors if you can. But in this instance, this is a level of online social media humiliation, embarrassment. I've been through it. That is a whole nother level and layer of hurt. That is that level of hurt that goes deep in your bones, and it hurts you. It hurts you so badly to the point, like when I got kicked in my hip. After I told this man, I don't want to be with you, and he choked me. And it's non-fatal, but it could have been fatal. If he had strangled me another 3 minutes, I would have been dead. And when I tell you he was on me because I didn't want to deal with his crap anymore, we've been together off and on for so long, I was like, you know what, I'm done. He jumped on me so fast. I mean, he has me in my stomach, and he is on me, and he's strangling me. And I had to fight him off. I remember my eyes rolling back in the back of my head because he was depleting me of oxygen, and I still have problems swallowing because of what he did. And when I tell you that 2 days later, I went to the hospital because I couldn't move, and I had a family member that checked on me and was like, what's wrong with you? Why are you limping? I was like, well, we got into it, and he coached me. Okay, why do you have bruises? And I was like, because he strangled me, and then he put his hands on me. And they actually took pictures. There were physical pictures of his handprint on my neck, and then on top of that, the handprint on my arm. And when I tell you why I have the tattoos, it's to cover up a lot of the damages from his nails and things like that. And then literally I had bruising, and every time I look at my arm, I see a different view from the tattoo that I got, because at that point in time, I felt like I was dying, and I don't want to cry about it because it's hard. And when I tell you that when you never believe that somebody will get mad because they're wrong and they're trying to punish you for cheating, and that they humiliate you in the manner that they do it, there's a level and layer of empathy I have for Derek Jackson's wife, because I know how she feels. Because right now, they've got to figure out what they're going to do with their marriage and their brand. I'm hoping their marriage is still going to be able to be worked out. If it cannot, if it's an unhealthy marriage, then get out of it. But there's a level and layer that the wife needs to take the front seat in relationships, to help her husband through this infidelity and sit down and have couple therapy and have two-party, three-party therapy and be able to talk about this and literally talk about the breakdown of their marriage and possibly write some informational thing once they've gone through the adequate therapies that a couple should go through, especially if they've gone through something troubled like this. And if they're planning on still staying together, because I'm all about marriage and re-evaluating your marriage at some point in time and reinventing the wheel. And with Derek Jackson, there's a level layer of, I don't want to browbeat him and be like, I hate men or on a I hate men kick, because that's not what it is. I'm pro-marriage and pro-levels of fix your marriage if you can, because marriage is a bond and a sanctity that you have. But it does not mean stay in a marriage that's unhealthy or emotionally draining you. So there needs to be levels and layers of having private conversations that they need to have. So as a life coach, wellness coach, health coach, divorce coach, and relationship coach, and a marital coach, there's a level and layer, and also an entrepreneurial coach for small business, large business, and mentor, large level businesses and things like that for mentoring. I want you guys to understand that even brands go through it. There is a time and place for everything. And the thing is, I don't think it was easy for their brand to take this hit. I don't think it was easy for their brand to actually have it revealed that their life is not so perfect. It's not so peachy keen. So with that being said, as a wellness coach, divorce coach, life coach, wellness coach, and also as a business brander, a serial entrepreneur, and a level and depth of a relationship coach and a marital coach, there's a level layer that they need to have a gap there. And they also need to get her in to see a psychiatrist on top of that to make sure she's not with a lot of depression from the situation. And there's a level and layer of he needs to see a psychiatrist to figure out what is his infidelity problem. Because there may be some underlying things with him that he needs to be seen for. And we don't know. It doesn't mean he's nuts or anything like that. But to make sure that whatever that's causing him to go out there and cheat, he needs to address those issues with a counselor outside of just a counselor, but a psychiatrist, to make sure he's not dealing with narcissism, sociopathy, anything like that, or level of anything outside of that. So with that being said, when we talk about mental health, we also have to talk about relationship health. We need to talk about mental health in relationships and marriage. We need to talk about the level of forgiving yourself and others. We need to talk about the level of forgiveness is crucial to healing. It does not mean you have to forgive the person, but you forgive yourself for it happening. And then on top of that, you've got to go from a place of learning. What I mean by a place of learning is learning how to deal with everything that happened to you. And emotionally forgive someone is really all about you. If you can forgive. If you cannot forgive, then it's a place of coping. So you can get to a place of healing when you can finally get to the point that you don't want to remind them, like, you cheated, beep, 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 beep. You know, it could be something that happens and you're cooking in the kitchen and then all of a sudden, you know, something reminds you of some crap that he did and then you're ready to get into an argument because, oh, well, you cheated. Or it's vice versa with a male and it's a woman and he's like, well, you cheated on me and this, that, and the other, and you can't keep going through this toxic cycle. So when we think about this, it's not about the person who betrayed you. You're the one who benefits the most from that strategy, okay? And then the person who doesn't even need to know. So that means that you don't even have to tell that person you forgive them, but in your mind, you have to say, I'm going to forgive you from a place of forgiving myself for actually trusting you and you betraying me versus I forgive you. Because if I don't really forgive you, I'm not going to tell you I'm going to forgive you, and I'm not forgiving that. You just have to cope with the fact that I don't forgive the betrayal, but I forgive myself for allowing myself to trust you enough to betray me. So when we think about that, the other person does not have to know how you really truly feel, but you have to do the work that's required. And forgive yourself your past mistakes or your inability to see the red flags or the signs of your marriage already in the toilet. So when we think about that, a person who's betrayed you does not see that because they're doing the betrayal. And I want you guys to understand that because a lot of people don't get what I just said. A person who has betrayed you does not see the betrayal from their point, from only their depth of perception, but they don't see it from your point of view or what they call point of view either. Because at the end of the day, avoid using betrayal as revenge. Because if you use that as a stimuli, as a strategy to cope, that's a bad, unhealthy coping mechanism. You'll find that you'll be thinking about betraying the person who hurt you or doing something to hurt and harm them in the manner of, I'm going to cheat back, or I'm going to do something to hurt them or humiliate them back. So what you have to do is rise up and rise above it. It's easier said than done because, let me tell you something, baby, even as a health coach, wellness coach, divorce coach, life coach, wellness coach, and also a miracle coach, there's a level of we're all human. There's a point in us where hell will get in us, and we'll feel a moment of, you know what, I should pay your life, you know? And it's at that moment that you have to decide, I'm not going to pay you back for what you did. I'm going to let God handle you for you and your actions. And I'm going to let, instead of me putting my mouth on you or my hands on you, what I'm going to do is let God handle you. That's where you have to go from that place. Because if you don't, you'll find yourself in a reactionary or reactive syndrome and being at a point of either anxiety or some depression or in a stage of grief. And what I see in this woman, Derek Jackson's wife, is she's in a stage of grief. That's so grief like this happened again. The defeated grief, the type of grief that's so guttural and it's so inside of you that you can't even say words. There's not even words to explain that type of hurt. All you can do is sit there and look shell-shocked like, really? Again? And all you can do is just look at him like, if I wasn't your wife, I'd put you in the dirt. And it doesn't mean that she really wants to do it, but it's a level and layer of you've done this so many times, and if he does it again, she might end up going upside his head. And if literally she needs to have some intervention, it's a family member to sit back with her and talk to her about getting some relationship therapy, coaching, and things like that, and then a level layer of psychiatric therapy to make sure she's good. Because I'm concerned with her as a girlfriend and a past girlfriend and as a fiance and as a common-law wife and as being almost like a wife in a household with someone is a level layer of feeling hurt to the point that you can't even find words to explain, or you're so mad that you're calm. That so mad that you're calm is not healthy, because it's somewhere deep inside of you that you want to scream on top of a mountain, and it's that blood-curdling scream. And she's at the point of stoic, so he needs to tread lightly. And then on top of that, for the sake of the children, don't fake it to make it. Y'all got to really get into therapy. That would be my suggestion. Because in the sense of it benefits the person to be able to start unpacking everything that's uncomfortable for them, and also a level and layer of finding out, how do I go from here? How do I work this out from here? And how do I find a way to channel this energy without going upside your head, sir? Hi, how are you, baby? And when we're talking about a level and layer of trying to find a way to deal with it without wanting to go to, you cheated on me again? You don't want to get to domestic violence. I don't condone it. Here's why. I've been through domestic violence, and I wasn't the one who was the aggressor. I was the one who aggressed the gang. And when I tell you it does something to you psychologically, it does. Because when verbal violence happens or physical violence happens or a combination of both, it beats you down, it wears you down. That dead look in her face is that look of, you've done this so many times, and I'm tired of hearing your mouth. I'm tired of hearing you tell me I'm sorry, and I'm tired of you always doing this, and I'm always looking like the fool. And so, oh, I hear you. Thank you. I'm glad you're listening. Thank you. And when I tell you guys how hard it is to deal with that without wanting to be reactionary, it is not easy. I will tell you something. I have to master the majesty of being calm. Because when you're dealing with someone who doesn't see a problem with their behaviors, including infidelity or habitual levels of cheating, whether it's emotional, whether it's online, whether it's offline, there's a level and layer of finding a majesty of being calm, or you'll flip out, or you'll finally react one day and just go in on them. And you don't want to get to the point that you let it fester. And what I'm hoping is not happening with Derek Jackson's wife is I'm hoping it's not festering with her. I'm hoping she's not so stoically quiet that she's ready to beat his behind down to sleep. And I'm hoping that's not the case. And I see that she's posting religious things and things like that because she's in the church real heavy. So when we think about the church, and it's another thing we're going to get into, the layers of church and levels and layers of what we call Christian levels of therapy. And when you have your pastor or pastoral team who sits down with you and talks to you about marriage and things like that. And one thing I hate about the church, which where we need to have this conversation about that, the next session, which is where the church tries to tell you, well, that's your husband. You're supposed to stay with a man even if he does you dirty. No, I don't, ma'am, sir, first lady, get your husband in here, because what you're telling me is not right. You can choose to stay with your husband after infidelity. You can choose to stay with your wife after infidelity if you choose to. But the grooming part of this is not to groom someone into accepting habitual behavior. So when we think about pastoral care and we're thinking about levels of in the church, and as a person who's been in the church, raised in the church and things like that, Jesus, the blood of Jesus, all that stuff, and, you know, pastor, thank you, all of that. Bruh, I'm going to tell you right now, I was raised with a grandma that was married to her husband till he died, till death do us part. Not no fatal vows, fatal attraction, fatal obsession, none of that. So I was raised with a grandmother who was married to her husband till death do us part. He was military, First World War veteran. She was his second wife. And let me tell you something, he loved her. all the way down to her socks. He loved her putting between her legs to her butt. And one thing about my granddaddy, he loved her. There was a level of love so deep within them that whatever they went through, they stayed together. But that's the old school levels of marriage, and we're going to have this conversation about marriages and marriages versus now. A lot of people don't know what it means to work out a marriage past a level of infidelity. A lot of people don't know what it means to work out a marriage past or a relationship past infidelity. Sometimes infidelities can either make or break your marriage or relationship, or they can tear it completely apart, or it can reframe who you are as a person, and it depends on what the damage is. That's why I said recovering from betrayal trauma or marital betrayal trauma or relationship trauma. Because if you don't go and forgive yourself in order to move forward, or you don't go to a point of avoiding a level of using betrayal as revenge to go and cheat back or do something harmful or hurtful to your partner, you're never going to work it out. This is why we have REC therapy, relational emotive therapy. Because what happens with this is relationship emotive cognitive therapy helps you to understand. And then on top of that, a level of personal emotive therapy, pet therapy, which allows you to be able to understand it from that viewpoint instead of a point of contention to want to exact revenge on your spouse or your fiance or whatever your situation is or your entanglement is. I don't care. But at this point, whatever everybody's situation is, including up to Derek Jackson's situation is a level of I don't have an opinion for them per se, but it's coming from a coaching standpoint and using that as an example. It's no offense to them, and I hope they don't feel offended if they ever catch this. So with that being said, you have to think about who hurt you. Is it the marriage that hurt you or the infidelity that hurt you? And then on top of that, is it your spouse hurting you or are you accepting what your spouse is doing and it's finally come to a point that it's taken a hit of he's hurting me so much and I'm allowing it? So when we think about all of this and we think about are you tempted to seek revenge? Are you tempted to look at what they did to hurt you, to hurt them back even more than they hurt you? Then you're adding a layer of BS on this pyramid of butt hurt, emotional hurt, behavioral hurt, and mental hurt, okay? So when we got this whole pie of emotional hurt, behavioral things that are going on, mental health and emotional health and behavioral health, and you're thinking about this at the peak of this is infidelity, what happens? That pyramid is going to fall apart on the foundation of bricks that it was laid in the beginning. So it means that if your foundation wasn't solid from the beginning of your marriage or your relationship, then you're going to have to solidify it somewhere in between the relationship or the marriage. And you're going to have to figure out, am I checking out of this marriage or am I staying? So with that being said, the type of thought process is dangerous if you decide to go for the revenge route because you're not usually hurting the person who's hurt you. Because if they're cheating on you multiple times or they're cheating on you at least one to two to three to four times, or if it's a habitual serial cheater, there is a level layer of something wrong with them, not you. So then you have to go through the personal levels of therapy to make sure that it's not you and it's really them. So with that being said, I want you guys to understand, we've got to accept this couple situation but not have an opinion for it, but go from a place of learning. And then when we think about this, we cannot get to a place of healing if we're going to stay in the hurt. And I want you guys to understand why. Y'all have seen me go through a level layer of trauma recovery and a journey that has been so deep and so hard because y'all have watched me be humiliated by several people, provoked and gaslit by several people, and emotionally traumatized by a lot of people on and offline. Y'all have watched me rebuild my brand in real time. Y'all have watched me go through a level of anger and reactive abuse syndrome from levels and layers of years of degradation, levels of humiliation, cruelty, vicious cruelty, emotional cruelty, to the point that there's a level of layer of beep, 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 you got me messed up, beep, beep, beep. I had to finally stop because it was affecting my health. And the only person who's really angry is the person who's being hurt, not the person who's doing the hurting, because hurt people hurt people. Broken people hurt people. And when we think about this, and there's something that was said, imagine hurting the person who was sent there to heal you. So your person who was sent there to heal you could have been your wife. The person who was sent there to heal you could have been your husband. And you have to make sure it's not vice versa, that you're not already dealing with hurt and pain, and then when you're dealing with somebody who's intent on inflicting pain and hurt and harm. So when we think about all these things, the thought process is dangerous to seek revenge. That's why. Then we think about it simply adds more negativity to your life, your marriage, your relationship, or your dating life. So revenge can trap you in an unhealthy cycle, which is where a person who hurt you is in the first place is the one who did the hurting. Now you're exchanging the power here, but the thing is it's going to become a power struggle to see who can hurt each other the most. So when we think about all of this, and we think about first they hurt you, and then you hurt them, and then they're hurting you back again because they realize there's a level layer of you're not forgiving them and you're still punishing them. So where does it end? And we have to ask ourselves that to connect with others. Here's why. Sometimes you have to have a third party. Here's why you have a divorce coach, a health coach, a life coach, and a wellness coach all wrapped up in one who's going to be able to help you on top of a psychiatrist, psychologist, or specialist in my field of study where I'm going to school to be a psychiatrist, forensic psychiatrist, psychologist, so that I'll be in a specialty, be able to diagnose, treat, and also do therapy. So you'll be with me longer than just a couple of weeks to a couple of months or a year. You'll be with me for at least 2 years and working on different plans and things like that. So when we think about this after I graduate college and everything else again and get my MD license and things like that as a pathologist and forensic psychiatrist, there's a level and layer of learning these different masteries of this and taking that person who comes into my office and they're sitting up there like, Cece, I booked appointment at INCC Coaching or Don Diva Coaching or TeamWorld.online for my family and I need some help. Okay, well, why are you here? Well, my husband's cheating on me. Okay, how many times did he cheat on you, ma'am? When did this start? How did this start? Where did this start? Where's the breakdown in your marriage? Where did you guys have this point where infidelity happened? And when they're like, oh, are you blaming me for the marriage? No, I'm asking you the questions I need to know so we can figure out where to start to help you, ma'am or sir. Because the first thing is to react to it and say, are you blaming me for my husband cheating on me? No, ma'am. I'm just asking you the questions I need to ask you. Because where can I start? Because if it was Derek Jackson and his wife, I'm going to have to ask him, Derek, when did you first start cheating on your wife? Then I have to ask the wife, when did you start accepting his cheating and when did you first find out? Because at this point in time, are you accepting the cheating or are you just getting to the point that you're used to it? So those are things for me to dig deeper. And when we're talking about level and layer of talking to that person, connecting with others, that therapist, that life coach, that divorce coach, that wellness coach, and then on top of that, a psychiatrist, just in case the kids are going through depression because maybe mommy and daddy are fighting behind closed doors. Maybe mommy and daddy are going through hell right now. Maybe we don't know what's really going on. That's why I said I don't have an opinion for it because unless I'm sitting with them and doing this interview and talking to them, I don't know. So I assume allegedly. So when we're talking about kids added on to that, that's where TeamWorld comes in. That's where TeamWorld.online for children, adolescents, young adults come in because when you're talking about kids that are 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, we learn in divorce therapy and coaching is that you'll get to a point that the kids begin to blame themselves. Why is daddy cheating on mommy? Or they'll start blaming mommy because they'll hear daddy say, well, you won't dress up anymore or you look frumpy. Okay, well, mommy, why don't you dress up so daddy will stay home? That's not going to make daddy not cheat, baby. So those are things that you have to explain to a child, and that child becomes butthurt. And when it's righteous butthurt because they're seeing mommy and daddy fighting or they're hearing it or they might be seeing daddy fake it to make it that he loves mommy and they know that mommy and daddy don't love each other anymore or daddy is infidelity and we heard daddy on the phone with his girlfriend. You know, those things that can happen. So once we get to that layer of hurt, and we're getting to that layer of we need to get an outside party, a third party who's not going to judge us, but who's going to sit down with us and literally go and unpack our whole marriage because it started somewhere. Then I have to ask them, Eric, do you have any childhood trauma that we need to talk about? Do you have anything childhood that's happened to you at any point that's caused you to cheat? How was your mother and father's marriage at one point in time? Was there any infidelity in the marriage? Then you start getting into the nuts and bolts of what's going on because it sets the tone of how you conduct your marriages later. We've learned this all in divorce coaching and things like that for the certification. So I want you guys to understand this. So if we're thinking about this from the outside looking in, most of us shouldn't have anything to say about it because we don't know. But if you're a therapist or you are a life coach or wellness coach or something like that to that nomenclature, like I have the background in human resources, we're taught to learn a level of psychology blocks 1 through 3 and up to 4. And I took all 4 blocks of that. And when we have to learn to look at people and look at them psychologically and say, hey, their body language shows a level of who has control. He's holding her hand. So he's squeezing them every time for reassurance. So that's letting us know that he's in control of this narrative, this marriage. So at this point in time, I have to ask him, Derek, Do you feel like she has any control in this marriage? Are you the one who's more controlling in the marriage, or is she? There are certain things that we have to get into that will be able to go and open up the doors for the conversation. They will have to have couple therapy together, and you have to get down to what's going on with the wife versus the husband. His depth of perception about the marriage might be this way, and her depth of perception about the marriage is this way, and there's a level and layer of, okay, maybe they're both at fault for this marriage falling apart. But until you get down to the couple's therapy and the relationship therapy or the divorce coaching therapy, if they're contemplating divorce, is to figure out, do I pull them back from a level of contemplating divorce, or do I need to talk to them about a level and layer of connecting with myself as a life coach, health coach, divorce coach, wellness coach, to figure out where is the unhealthy part of their life? Plus, she's going to need life coaching on top of marital coaching, and then on top of that, divorce recovery coaching if she decides to divorce them. But the thing is, my job is to initially try to help them keep their marriage. But if there's a point that we've been in this at 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 9 months, and I'm saying that he's determined not to work it out or she's determined not to work it out, then there's a point of, let's switch you over to divorce therapy. Because obviously this is not going to work out. Let's get you to mediation. Let's switch the kids over to Team World Online. Let's have a conversation about what we need to be doing to offboard these kids from this relationship and this marriage because something's not working out. Or if there's a level of, let's switch the kids over to Team World Online so that we can get them some therapy for all the betrayal trauma and trauma recovery so that we can get these kids back on track with the marriage and get you both on track on the marriage, but each one of you have your coaching sessions together and also separate. That's how I would have to talk to them. Because as a life coach, wellness coach, health coach, we learn the paradigms of coaching and how to navigate it and things like that. So when we think about connecting with others, you may benefit from connecting with others who have been hurt or have a level of support that they can offer to you, or a level if they're a life coach, wellness coach, health coach, or marital coach, or counselor, they'll be able to help you with that. And then on top of that, if there's levels of psychiatric, I can't diagnose just yet, so I become MD, but the MD that's on board will be able to sit there and say, hey, oh, yeah, they got some major problems, and she looks like she's depressed. She looks clinically depressed. We need to put her on antidepressants, and we need to make sure that she's on anti-anxiety drugs until we can get her stabilized and therapeutic, and then begin to work on her and work with the therapies and support groups for infidelity and marriage falling apart, which we'll offer there at the office. So I want you guys to understand that. Point of view that removing negative people, that means up including to removing yourself from social media. Y'all have seen me do a social media detox. When you're going through infidelity in a marriage or a level of breakdown in a relationship or a marriage and you really need to take time, sometimes getting off of social media is good. Sometimes it is good and suggested, especially if they're celebrities, and work on things behind closed doors unless they have a PR team that can help them to navigate what they're going to do and issue the statements together and jointly to help them be able to navigate it. And if they decide to stay together, what are you going to do with your brand? How are you guys going to take hold of this? And my suggestion as a brander and as a marketer and as a business manager, I would tell them, try to establish your brand as best you possibly can. Let your wife take the driver's seat and these miracle coaches and counseling, and you guys do dual counseling and coaching. Once you got through relationship therapy and divorce coaching therapy and things like that, take that as a grain of salt and write a book together jointly as Derek Jackson and wife, or wife as Derek Jackson, and how I got through my infidelity with my husband. And then teach classes on that so that you can teach other women that, you know, it's not okay to be cheated on, but begin to role reversal, a level of have your wife in the driver's seat for a minute. Let her talk about infidelity. And then you need to be able to take it with a grain of salt, Derek, and then sit there and support your wife and begin to support, nurture her, bring her sexy back, make her feel good about herself and love on her soul. That would be my suggestion as a brander and a marketer and a business manager to tell you, you need to work on your brand because it's falling apart at the seams because you've done too much. So at this point, sit down with your wife and tell her, I love you. I'm sorry I hurt you. I've done this one too many times, and it's just not fair. And I'm sorry I crossed the line this time and I publicly humiliated you, and I'm sorry. How can we fix this? And I want us to work together as branders, together as this brand. We are a united family. We are a church-going family. How can we work this out? And sit down with her and let her be in the driver's seat and negotiating her marriage package with you, Derek. That's what I would do, and I would suggest it to him. Because there's a thing of once she comes to a certain level in business and once she becomes a certain level of celebrity, and I'm related to celebrities, that's what I'm saying. and that's why I'm speaking on it. There's a level and layer of you want to preserve your brand if you can. If you cannot preserve the brand, try to reevaluate and reinvent the wheel of your brand and begin to look at it. Take this with a grain of salt that you did it. You got caught, Dirk Diggler. So just turn it around and try to work with it that your brand is now on learning how to be a man after I've done some ungodly things. Then begin to brand out with that and start to go and take acceptance of it and utilize that. Have a panel of men who've done that and start interviewing them and talking to them. And have your wife, after she's gone through her hurt, after she's gone through her healing, after she's gone through her layers and levels and depth of trauma, recovery, then allow her to be able to come in with you and start being on the panel with you, sir. That will help your brand, and it will also help her to feel better. And then also to lead ladies at the church to be able to help a marriage that's fallen apart, but show that we can work past it as a power couple and as a brand. That way, Derek Jackson doesn't have to lose everything, because I'm amped to always say, we all have done stupid crap. Third, you shit and fell in it. You did it. The shards of glass that you've broken in her heart, but you can dang sure place it back together, put a little tape here, put a little tape here, and put some super glue of love in between, and let it trickle on down through there. So that way, by the time it's all said and done, it goes through her superior vena cava, it goes through her mitral valve and everything else, and you've loved on her soul, maybe you might win your wife back. Think about that. So, on to the next thing. The negative people can affect your healing process. Derek, and what? I would suggest if you got any negative naysayers of your marriage and you want to preserve your marriage, then you're going to have to remove those people. Because when people are negative in your life, sometimes it helps to remove those toxic people or people who are creating a level of enablement of toxicity in your marriage. So when we think about all of those type of things, we have to find a level and layer of finding, how do I work this out? How do I work out my marriage in the sense that I want to work it out with my wife. I love my wife. I don't want to lose her. It's just the brand. I don't want to lose my wife. So at that point, he'll be focusing on his wife, emotionally nurturing her pain and her hurt, but go with her to therapy, but don't try to control the narrative. Allow her to have the moment that she needs. She might have a Negro moment and she might go off on you, sir. But allow her to do it, because you've got to get to a place that you realize you've hurt her deeply. Then the negative naysayers in your marriage, they can serve as a constant reminder of the pain and betrayal. You'll feel lighter and healthier without them. And sometimes telling them, if you encourage me, homeboy, to go cheat on my wife, I don't think it's best for us to be friends anymore. Or I need for you to be over there because my wife hates you. You know, those type of things like that, until there's a therapy where the homeboy or homegirl who encouraged it comes into the therapy and the wife can go and lie to their behind and say, why did you tell my husband to do that? You know, he's weak as a flesh. You know, something like that. Because at that point, there has to be layers of therapy with everybody involved in the infidelity or the enablement. Then, if it's not feasible to remove them from your life, limit your contact with them as much as possible, like I said. Here's why. If I have to sit up here and look at your punk behind homegirl, homeboy that sat there and told you to go cheap, then guess what? Do you think I want your homegirl, homeboy around us at dinner table? It means that there's a level layer that your homeboy and homegirl can't be trusted until I find a level layer of forgiveness for them for encouraging you to do what you did to me. So that's where we have to get to that point of, as a life coach, wellness coach, health coach, divorce coach, relationship coach, and as a brand coach, that I would tell them, hey, until y'all gone through therapy, some of your friends have to go bye-bye for a minute. Because unless they're willing to come to therapy with y'all, because they're going to be all up in both of y'all's ear telling y'all what y'all should do, but y'all are the only ones married to each other, sir, ma'am. So at that point, you have to look at, they can serve as that constant reminder, so it's time to go and let them go over here to this area. And learn how to control your feelings. Let me tell you something. How do I unpack this without saying something sideways? Okay, it's from a place of remembering. So let me say it like this. It's normal to cry and feel anger. And it's normal to feel that after betrayal. And it's normal to have an eerie calm after betrayal and trauma, to the point that people like, dude, you better sleep with one eye open. She might hurt you. when you're not even thinking about hurting that person, you're just so stoically crushed, emotionally crushed, mentally defeated, that there's nothing you can say, because there's no beep, 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 you got me effed up, beep, 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 that you could ever do to fix that kind of hurt. So when you think about that, however, if you dwell on those feelings and you think about they dominate your life, it's important to express your pain, but the right way. Y'all have watched me express my pain in the wrong way, because I was constantly going through re-traumatization online and humiliation online and offline. It grossly negatively affected my business brand rollout. And let me tell you something, I had to get a hold of myself, because I was realizing I'm being trolled, provoked, and gaslit on behalf of this narc and his new narc wife, his narc supply, who thought it was funny until she realized I was telling the truth. She's like, I believe you. I'm like, well, you should have believed me in the beginning, or you shouldn't have participated, and now you realize you're going to lose everything for participating in what your man told you, supposedly. And he wasn't your man in the beginning, but you were that friend girl. That friend of mine, she got what I had, okay. But I realized from a place of understanding that some men cannot be faithful. And let me explain that. And a lot of women don't shoot me. When I tell you that some men cannot be faithful to save their life, they need to be honest that they're not capable of carrying on a marriage. Or if a man cannot be faithful after he's been married to someone he's known for 15, 20 years, there needs to be a break in that marriage for a while so that he can figure out what he's trying to do. And I don't mean divorce. I mean, like, literally separate, because if I've known you 20 years, 15 years, there's a point that you've gotten old and gray, and so have I. Your nuts and nickelberries are shrinking, and then on top of that, I've got gray hair somewhere where the sun don't shine. So, therefore, there's a level and layer of we need to figure this out. We need to figure out if we need to still stay married, or why did we get married and we're at the 20-year mark, 15-year mark, 10-year mark. Do we need to still continue this marriage because it's gotten old and we're both tired of each other? Now, do you understand that from a place of understanding? So there is a level and layer that I looked at the history of Derek and his wife. They've been together since they were young, high school. So imagine being with someone off and on for over 12 years. And you're talking about, like, I had a 15-year off and on. We were together and off and on for that long, 15 years, and overlapping 10 years. When he wasn't married, we were together. When I was in a relationship, we were together. So there's a level layer of 15 years of history that we've had, and we grew up together. That's a level layer of histrionic. We've been together so long, I've known you, that's all we know. And we're always comfortably going back to each other, so it's a codependency there with each other. So there's a point of, do we even really love each other? No. We probably haven't been in love with each other since we were 19 years old. So there's a level and layer of being honest with each other. There's a level and layer of there was love when we were in college together. So we probably have not been in love with each other since 19 years old. We've just changed a lot, and all we do is go back to each other because it's familiar. Familiar dick and familiar foot. So when we talk about that in that manner, there's a level and layer of, are they at that it's familiar dick and it's familiar puss? Yeah, I put it as frankly as I could. So when we're talking about a level and layer of everybody needs a Bonnie, everybody needs a Frank in their life, yeah, we do. But not to the point that we're sacrificing our emotional health, our mental health, our happiness to be with someone who really doesn't love us or is only with us because that's all they know. So when we think about that, we have to learn to control our feelings, and it's important to express the pain and the suffering and learn to move on, because it's just like the guy I was dating off and on 15 years, he had the love of his life, this endless love, and I saw why he loved her. She was beautiful. She died, y'all, but she was beautiful. She was everything that I can see why he fell in love with her. He loves red bone women. He told me so, and, you know, that's the reason why we were together, and then on top of that, we've been together off and on, and we knew each other. So when he told me, he was like, I just love red bone women, and that's just what I'm privy to, and that's what I like. And I remember when I saw his wife, and I recognized her, and I was like, is this your wife? He was like, yeah, that's so-and-so from so-and-so. So I'm not going to go over that over again. Y'all already know the story. But when love, and I had these conversations with him, y'all, it makes me want to cry sometimes, because I came from a place of understanding him, although he hurt me, and he tormented me and did a lot of horrible things. And he apologized about it, but I didn't want to accept his apology. But I understand why he apologized, because somewhere along the line, he realized he had hurt me. Somewhere along the line, the apology came because he realized he had fallen me. Somewhere along the line, the real him came through, although he changed into somebody I don't know. So that feeling of I'm apologizing was probably because his guilty conscience finally got to him. The real him came out, not the person, the monster that I ended up being with. So when it comes down to it, and he's like, that was my endless love, and I feel like my soul died with him. There's a level of he loved that woman so much, but did she love you? So it's the same thing with this situation with Derek and his wife. And it's like, okay, you admire and love your husband so much, but does he love you the same way? Do you guys speak the same love language? Because me and this guy had this conversation. He taught me one thing, and I will give it to him that he did that. Outside the other guy that taught me about unconditional love. I'll give you guys this understanding. The one guy told me about accountability. He's like, you got to take accountability for the things you feel, and if you feel what you feel, just say it. In a way, he helped me to be more assertive and stop taking shit, including him. And I remember one day I bossed up on him. He looked at me like, this ain't you. I'm like, no, I'm sick of your crap, bro. I'm telling you, beep, 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 you got sick of this mess, beep, 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 this, that, and the other. But he had never heard me do that in the sense of the way I did it. So when I tell you I express my pain and suffering, but I let him know, you have harmed me in such a way that I've changed. There's no way for us to fix this. I don't want your apology. So I was able to say, I don't want your apology because I cannot accept it. Now, I still don't want his apology because there's other things that he did that added on to that hurt and harm, and it was egregious level. So there's a level layer of trauma that I'm not going to ever accept your apology. If you say it, so what? It's like, okay, bro, get out of my face. You get what I'm saying? But the thing is, I know you meant well, but there's no place that I could forgive you for the six sadistic things you did to me. So there's a place of I've learned to cope with what you did, but I'm going from a place of understanding. That woman is going to have to get to that place. She's just not there yet. And when I tell you that's a journey in and of itself, and that's a journey of a level layer of figuring it out, and the anger has to come before that, that calm before the storm. So she's inching to a calm before the storm and beep, 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 you got me messed up, beep, 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 you better hope I don't beep, 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 all that. And she's too stoically calm, so that's grief. She's going through a level of grieving for her marriage, and her marriage may be literally technically over, and she's just not wanting to come to terms with it, or she has, but she's gotten so used to it, or she maybe wants to fix her marriage, and she has to figure out, does my husband want to fix this marriage? Does my husband even love me? You know, and that's a level of hurt with a woman so deep that he has to realize he's hurt her. He's got to realize that he's hurt her so deep that, y'all, it makes me want to cry for her and him, because I love love. And it's hard. When you love love, you can't love the idea of being in love and love the idea of marriage. You got to really unconditionally what love is, like a yes sir to his wife, his girlfriend, his everything. Remember Yes Sir Ruby from Love Is? And you thought about how Yasser, how he left this woman and he came to this woman that he really, truly loved. But Ruby didn't understand it from the point of, I don't love you, Ruby. You're not my endless love. This girl is. So when we're talking about a level of my endless love, now I understand what that guy that I dated for 15 years on and off, we knew each other since high school. You're not my Yasser. I did meet my Yasser. And I'm not his Ruby. I'm actually the person he wanted to be with. But I was in a place of harm and hurt that you caused me, so therefore I could have effed up a marriage that was worth saving. And those are the things that people don't understand. You can be ready to meet your yasser, but not emotionally ready to meet your yasser because you're still dealing with a Ruby or a Reuben, okay? So our Boaz. So when you're thinking about it from the biblical terms, our Boaz, you want to get that yasser. You want to get that unconditional, my endless love. There's not a damn thing you can do to make me not love you. And so I'll go to the next guy. This guy, he came into my life. Might have been a true love to him. I don't know. But he came into my life, and he showed me what love is. He showed me how to love me and how to demand more from a man because I had that it girl factor. I had it. I just didn't see it. I loved myself, but I wasn't in love with myself. And a level layer that he showed me, how he's like, do you think that we made love? And I told him, no, because I felt like we did, because it felt like love, because the way he touched my body, the way he loved on my soul. So I still to this day would have to say that I'd never been touched like that, because every man that I had was a Reuben, not a Yasser. So that man had a level of touch on my soul, my body, and it wasn't a just a soul tie. It was more or less emotionally, mentally. He unlocked the doors that I had locked up for so long from trauma, betrayal trauma, betrayal after betrayal after betrayal. He loved on my soul. So it's like that word. And that, y'all, it makes me want to cry. Give me just a minute. When you finally meet someone who helped heal you, I hope I didn't break that dude. Because I may not have been the girl for him. And I realized that. And it hurts me so bad because I was so hurt, years of trauma and abuse, that if he did love me, I would have never believed it. I would have never figured it out until it was too late. I pushed him so bad. And that's from having trauma and PTSD from being abused. So when I tell you that you can have been a ruby for someone else, but be that endless love for someone else, there's a level of what he sat me down and he talked to me. And he said something so deep, y'all. And that's why when I meet my husband and I really meet my yasser, yasser, you know what I'm saying? Not my Boaz, but my yasser. I will tell you, that person is probably going to be so incredible, so amazing. He's going to be in love with me. He's going to be totally all about me. And there is no woman for him but me. So I'd rather wait for my yasser than my Reuben and not be the Ruby for someone else. Ruby was the yasser. He appreciated Ruby, but he didn't love her. And that's kind of like what I had with my Reuben, which was the 15-year on and off. He was my Reuben, and I met my yasser. So, yeah, it's emotional because it's a lot. That's why I said I really wanted to cry for Derek and his wife because I've been through that. I know what it feels like because you can love so much that you ignore the signs. Sorry, y'all. That you can ignore the signs. Ignore the signs that it's not real. It's just a true love scam or the person is not made for you. You can want to love and be loved so bad that you'll accept the negative things that they're doing that are betraying everything about you, the real you, the loving you. And so that's why we're going to get into the self-love part of it after we get to this part, because you have to have a level of self-love and a level of self-efficacy and a level of abundant love for yourself so you heal, so you don't end up being the Ruby to someone you consider your yasser. So that's like Derek and his wife. I'm hoping that Derek's not looking at his wife as a Ruby instead of his endless love. And I'm hoping that they can rekindle and spark the flame of their marriage and be able to get past it so that she can become his endless love if that's not the case. But or if he cannot see her as his endless love, then he needs to tell her, you are my Ruby. I'm not your yasser. I just don't love you anymore like that. I don't have that love. My love is like here. I can never love you the way I love this person or whoever I was with before you or whoever I fell in love with now. And a lot of people need to be honest in marriages. When you get to that point, it's hard, and that's why I cried, y'all. And it's not easy. Because sometimes to love someone is to let them go. To love someone and truly know what love is to love them and stay there with someone else and not be selfish and keep them and keep hurting them. So this is my word to a lot of men. Never be so selfish to keep that woman. And you're steady doing things to keep her as a safety net, but you don't love her. Fall in love with her after you pushed her out the door. That is a level layer of hurt that a woman will have a hard time coming back from. And this is talking to my fellows and to my ladies, the same thing. If you can't love that man 100% or you're so hurt, do not get with a yasser when you're still a Ruby. Please don't do that. Because, ladies, a lot of y'all are a whole Ruby, and you have yet to be an endless love to anybody or be able to endlessly love someone the right way and speak their love language. So there's a level of mastery, ladies. All of us, hello, hello. For all of us, ladies, that we have to learn how to literally be the endless love to someone and speak their love language before we do anything else sexually. We have to mentally love their soul before we physically love their body, because you can be a whole succubus. Ladies, yes, said it. Ladies, some of us can be a succubus to a man and suck the life out of him and suck the happiness out of him. Said it, ladies. Same thing with fellas. You fellas, some of y'all can suck the life out of a good woman and turn her into a whole ruby when she was a whole endless love to somebody else. Yes, said it. Hear what I said, fellas. A lot of you men will soul drain the life out of a woman and then turn around and blame her for being angry and turning into a ruby instead of your endless love. Make it make sense, sir. Make it make sense. Because a lot of y'all don't understand that you have to control the physical before you do anything. And the mental comes before the physical. So therefore, a physical action that helps you to release these emotions is to write them, talk about them, and have a level of speaking that person's love language or mastering their love language if you don't. So that's where I said emotional intelligence. Being able to pick up on the nonverbal, verbal cues, and then being able to not dwell on those feelings, but to begin to look at that, write that piece of paper on a journal, and I have some true love journals and also a level of couples journals that I'll put online at Dawn Diva Coaching, IMCC Coaching, teamworld.online, and for children, adolescents, young adults, and at IMCC.com for you to be able to get. Because when we think about this, you have to control your emotions. You have to be able to write it on that piece of paper and put that piece of paper away. But when you go to therapy, bring your notebook, sit down with us, and talk to us as the life coach, your health coach, your divorce coach, your wellness coach, your marital counselor, and begin to go look at what you doodled on your notebook, your journal. And also, just to let you guys know, I have journals now on Etsy. They are on Etsy, and so you guys can start getting those, because I'm going to put that journal on there for those of you who want to go through marital counseling and things like that. If you want to purchase multiples and things like that, I will absolutely have them on sale for you guys to get. And like I said, you want to get that piece of paper and then burn that paper after you're done, after you've gone through that therapy, or you want to keep it in case y'all have to come back again and sit down with another layer of couple therapy, relationship therapy, post-therapy, which a lot of people end up doing. So with that being said, you can also imagine that it can blow away in the wind. Take that piece of paper out of your journal after we've sat down and talked about all of this and talked about all the layers of what you need to do in your strategy to receive it, and listen to receive. Don't listen to respond, fellas, ladies. Hello. To be able to sit down, chart, and talk from the heart. Say, honey, I think we have to talk. And it's like, hey, this is like saying, Belle, we have to tell my friend at one point in time. I was like, I'm like Tinkerbell. I like to tinker 6 days. So it would be like, Belle, we have to talk. We really need to talk. Hey, Bella, let's talk. What do you want to talk about, honey? We need to talk about a relationship. Okay, let's talk. Because at this point, Belle is going to listen to response, not respond, but listen to not respond, but listening to what you have to say before I respond. Because at that point, the hurt and anger is gone. So Belle and her husband are going to sit down and talk and say, hey, honey, where did we fail in this marriage? I don't know, because, like, what did I do that caused you to do what you did? And he says nothing. And there's a moment where I have to not respond. Because at that point, the automatic urge is to go, nuclear off. So why did you cheat? You know, and when we're thinking about this, and this is role play, role reversal. So let's role reversal, counselor hat, health coach hat, divorce coach hat, marital counselor hat. So, ma'am, what are you getting from what you said? You did nothing wrong when he cheated. I'm getting that he's an asshole. Ma'am, that's not appropriate. Okay. What do you really feel that he's saying? I don't know. Then I'll turn around and say, okay, sir, she's saying she doesn't know what you mean by that. Could you elaborate exactly what you mean by she didn't do anything, but you cheated? Can you explain to her what caused you to literally step out on your marriage, your relationship, and cheat on her and hurt her in the manner that she's calling you an asshole right now, which is inappropriate? So at that point, he's going to have to dig in his mindset, his recesses of his fritter brain, and figure out, why did I cheat? Because that's a good question. Why did you? Her being homely looking is not going to fix it. Her not wearing makeup or wearing some doggone old ugly ass is not going to work, sir. You need to complain that I wanted her to dress sexy. Okay, well, I got that from him. Okay, sir, ma'am. Okay, so, ma'am, when did you stop dressing up for your husband? Well, a long time ago, I had the kids. Okay, okay, how long ago was that? Okay, we had kids over 14 years ago, 15 years ago, 16 years ago. All right, so you got comfortable. Okay, ma'am, do you realize he's telling you he wants you to look sexy for him? He wants you to stop wearing granny panties today? He wants you to wear something like a nighty, a nice pair of open back panties? He might want you to go to Frederick to Hollywood and pick you up something, wear some nice little kitten heels and role play something. You know, and she's saying, well, we used to do that when we first got married. Okay, so you were teabag Tammy before, you know? So then we know that there's dynamics of the marriage that changed. We're not going to say teabag Tammy in front of them, but we're just talking here. And that's just before instance. So we're thinking that they were balls to the wall, having plenty of sex before they got married. She got comfortable with the kids, and now she's wearing bloomers and a bonnet. Okay. So she's wearing bloomers and a bonnet to bed. So, of course, it's Dick Wilson. Yeah. So now we're like, okay, sir, do you feel any type of sexually attracted to your wife anymore? And, you know, that's a difficult question to ask. He might be saying, no, because she looks like Marmaduke going to bed. That wasn't so really funny, but we've all been through that, and we've all worn our bloomers, and we've worn our bonnet, and we know that some of our husbands don't mind us wearing a bloomers and bonnet because they'll knock the dust bunnies off of our vagina anyway. But as a life coach, wellness coach, I'm trying to lighten it up a bit so we won't have any crying soul or anything like that. But when we're thinking about this, not all men want to see their wife in a bonnet and things. He might have some fantasy scenes that he wants to play out with his wife. So he's not one of those men that might not want his wife to go to bed with some big old bloomers and look like Marmaduke going to bed. So he might want her in some nice things. So you have to tell the wife, is there a reason why you don't feel comfortable with dressing sexy for me to go to bed? Is there something that's going on that's causing you to not want to dress up for me? Then get into those conversations. So as a life coach, wellness coach, health coach, I turn around and ask her, ma'am, is there any trauma that's happened to you, any sexual trauma, anything that's happened in the marriage that has caused you to feel some type of way, to not want to dress up for your husband when you go to bed? No, I've just gotten uncomfortable with my body's changed and I don't feel sexy and I don't feel attractive. Okay, so now we're getting somewhere. You've had a kid. The kid's wrecked your body, so mommy needs a mommy makeover. So there's a level in depth of she's not feeling attractive. He's not making her feel attractive. He's not telling her he loves her anymore. She's sitting up there thinking, okay, I'm going to go to bed looking like Marmaduke. No, sir, let me tell you something. Do you tell your wife that you love her anymore? No, I don't have to. She knows it. But do you tell her? Don't assume that she knows it. She can't read your mind, sir. So when you get up in the morning and you get dressed for work all snazzy and jazzy and you get yourself up looking all dapper Dan, and do you get up and do you kiss her on her cheek? Do you kiss her on her neck? Do you come up behind her and tell her you're just as fine and sexy as all get out? Do you tell her that? Or do you just go and say, hey, do you got my coffee ready and get out there, go get your snack and lunch or the money that she left on the counter for you to go and you just don't give a damn? Those are things that we have to ask. Because at this point, either they've both gotten comfortable or he's comfortable. And he's comfortable with not telling her anymore that I love you. So she's uncomfortable looking like Marmaduke. So when we're talking about that, we have to learn how to trust each other again. That's the next layer. If you learn how to control your emotions and your feelings and things like that, you learn how to trust again after you've addressed all these things. Like I just showed you as us doing role play, and it would be me, him, her. And I'm sitting up here trying to figure out why she likes going to bed looking like mom or dude. Nothing wrong. We've all done it. I've done it. But the thing is, I didn't have a problem with him wanting to touch me. So there's a problem with something going on in that marriage that we know nothing about. It's not our business, but we have to get to a point of giving them a level of layer of privacy and that respect that they've earned as a brand and as a celebrity brand to be able to understand that they've got a lot going on. And maybe the best thing for them to do is to get a PR rep team and then begin to work on their brand or stay on there, but literally let us even work through their journey of their marriage so that it doesn't fall apart. So now we're on to the last layers and nitty-gritty of that. Learning to trust again. Why do you word this in the best manner without triggering anybody? To trust a pathological serial cheater, Peter Pumpkin Eater, habitual layer of Dirk Diggler, who likes to cheat, who will continually do layers of cheating to the point that it's getting old, you're getting tired of it, and you're ready to snap. There's a level and layer of trust therapy that has to be done. And rational, emotive, cognitive therapy and DBT training and CBT training on top of a level of couple therapy so deep that, like I told you guys, I'm going to get out of this and I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. Because if you don't do the formula correctly, you will have a damaged family. And this is for the and the life coaches and the doctors who are not specialists, who are regular psychiatrists. Learn that you have to have REX therapy. REX therapy is something that literally will help you understand rational emotive and self-acceptance and also rationality and rationale and couple therapy to the point that you'll be able to get to a point of contention to be able to discuss things without getting to the point that you're going to snap on your husband or snap on your wife. So let's get what is a level of REX. I want you guys to understand it. And it's a level of emotionally focusing type of therapy to help someone. And what I mean by this, cognitive. And in RET, I want you guys to understand what it is, and especially the pentameter, but not go too deep and be too long-winded with it, because we've been on for an hour, 27 minutes, 6 seconds. It helps us to eliminate relationship disturbances. It helps us to have premeditated levels of acceptance and a level of formulating forgiveness or coping mechanisms and antidotes to hurt and anger. And then on top of that, unconditional self-acceptance and the antidote to fear and insecurity and infidelity, betrayal, trauma, and emotional hurt. And it lowers the frustration and frustration level so that if you're at a low tolerance level and you're at that beast mode, ready to go, savage mode on your husband, there's a level of building relationships and harmony and happiness. And then on top of that, a relentless level of intelligence and emotional intelligence and giving a level, a layer of reciprocated conversation and commitment to your coupledom and not letting it fall apart. That's the shortest version I can give you guys without going overboard with it. Because then we'll be here another 3 hours and I don't think I want to hear my mouth that long. Yeah, I said it. So when we're talking about a level and layer of trying to how to get back to a level and layer of, I would say, betrayal trauma therapy in the sense of using REC on top of it, and then on top of that, having a coping mechanism so deep within it, and when you're trying to recover from betrayal trauma, it's hard to not be in the moment of that flashback of what happened. And when you're trying to heal from an emotional breakup or trauma, it does something to you in the sense of how do I get past it? How do I allow myself to be able to respond to this person appropriately without wanting to go upside their head? And then on top of that, from a level and layer of I need to figure out where do we go from here? How do I keep from wanting to bust them upside his head while we're in coaching therapy? And how do I go to a point of getting past it and have a strategy that works? And when I tell you that you have to have some layer of strategy, you're going to have to. Because if you don't, find yourself in a place of anger and upset to the point of nuclear upset, and you won't be able to fix it. And when I say fix it, Jesus, even Jesus won't be able to help that relationship and that marriage, and that's where you have to contemplate divorce. So when I was telling you guys to apply these levels of therapeutics, it's a way to help you to cognitively train your brain to respond back to it in that sense. And then on top of that, to keep yourself from falling apart, because it can happen. Let me get back into all of that. Thank you. So when we think about what is forgiveness and what forgiveness is not, it does not mean forgiving the actual infidelity. It means going from a place of strategic management of that and from a level of contemplating it's not about the other person. It's about the both of y'all figuring out where do we go from here? How do we fix our marriage? How do we fix our relationship? How do we get to a point of contention that something went wrong here without the blame game or pointing fingers, because you see how many fingers are pointing back at yourself. There's four other fingers that are pointing back and you're pointing something out in the marriage that fell apart. So with that being said, I want you guys to understand that we all have done a level and layer of something wrong in a relationship. But do you speak that love language of your couple and your coupledom and your marriage? So with that being said, I want you guys to understand why it's so important to pivot that level and layer of instruction to get to a point of growth. And then on top of that, there's a level of how do I find my way back to you and how do I find my way back to this marriage? And when we're thinking about those levels of how do I come back from the level of damage you've done to me, and you've done it online, you've done it offline, and our whole families know about what happened, it becomes a level and layer of how do I save my marriage, because if we're drowning in a level of betrayal trauma and learning to trust you again is going to be hard to do. So that's the last part of that. So in that, you might find it difficult in a difficult time of trusting another person again or trusting your spouse again, which means there's a level of layer of commitment to your spouse and to that marriage to get to a point of trust. Now, if it's a serial cheater, a serial predicate felon at cheating, then you have a level and layer of deep couples therapy that has to be done before any level and layer of I'll ever trust you again. And you might not ever trust them again because they've done so much. So when you think about this, you may feel that you can't trust anyone because they're capable of hurting you. That person has to show you over a period of time that you can trust me with at least as far as you could throw me until there gets to a point that we've gotten past the hurt and the pain and suffering that you've done. If there's gross levels of humiliation, torment, degradation in that marriage, it is good. It's over because there's never going to be the same again unless you're willing to come back to that marriage and it not being the same. And you're going to a point of we're married to each other, but it's a difference, and I'm going to have to treat it as that way and love you the right way, and you're going to have to love me the right way, but we're going to have to go from a place of we've had a clean slate and we're starting over. And that means that neither one of us can talk about the things that were happening unless we're going from a place of wreck, which is rational, emotive, cognitive therapy, to get ourselves to PET, which is a level of psychological emotive therapy, to be able to go and understand each other psychologically and get to a place of emotional intelligence with each other so that we can learn how to not manipulate the situation and manipulate each other in a place of revenge or hurting each other again. So over time, the level of importance to learn to trust again, and then to reach out to each other and teach each other how to love each other and teach each other love language that is new, not the old love language, but the new love language that involves a level of wreck and pet. Then also to trust and help to build a new relationship. If you're just at the point of I'm throwing my hands up, I can't forgive you. Every time I look at you, I want to just, you know, and if you're not domestic violence, it's fine. Like I'm not. Domestic violence and fine, then there's a level layer of I can't forgive you, sir. We're not going to work this out, sir. I'd rather try it with somebody else. Or if there's a level layer of you split apart, you guys date other people, then you get back together. Hopefully there's no break babies, because I don't know break babies at all. So when we're thinking about that, you have to build a new and exciting relationship at that point. And we'll talk about that in divorce recovery training. And we'll do that probably tomorrow to piggyback off of this, because there's a level layer of do I divorce my husband long enough for us to separate, long enough for us to get to a point that we actually love each other and miss each other again, and we can get to a point to where we can get to therapy and get to the point that we can get to a point of contention that we love each other enough to that we just can't live without each other. Then there's a level layer of, yes, we can work this out. Maybe we can see a life coach, wellness coach, health coach, divorce coach, wellness coach, and things like that, and get our kids into that therapy. Or do it separate, and while y'all are separated, doing the therapy separate, and then come together after you guys, after the trial separation, say to yourself, okay, you know what? We can work on this marriage. We can solve it if some love there. If it's unconditional and that person's your influence love, it's different from you being the ruby to him being your yeser, and you're his ruby, and he has a person who's the real person he loves. So when I wanted to explain love is because that show actually struck a chord with me because I had met my yasser, I wasn't ready. And the thing is, I wasn't ready because I met so many Rubens, not my, you know, yasser. So I finally learned what love is through someone who's my Frank, and I was his aunt to his Frank. So every person needs a Bonnie, and I was his Bonnie to his Frank, and he was my Frank. So when we think about all of that, you have to trust and you have to be able to build a new exciting relationship. And sometimes you can get a yes or who's a Frank mixed in one can be the best husband you can ever have. But sometimes you got to let go of that Reuben to get to your yes or and your real true Frank. So when you think about past betrayals, they don't have to control your mind and your emotions. But in the beginning, it will. So there's a level layer of psychological therapy and intervention that has to be done in order to get to a place of therapeutic so you can get the therapeutics and get the right therapies. So taking action to help heal yourself, or if you can't heal, if it's too much trauma like it's been with me, there's a level layer of coping and resilience and finding a level of post-traumatic growth so that one day I can get to a point of forgiveness and heal 100%. Then on top of that, it speeds up the recovery and then it helps us to move on. And I've learned to move on, even though I'm still in the, I've got to get to a place of healing, and I've got to get to a place of recovery. And it may be that a new relationship may heal that pain and suffering and things like that, but I'll have to get a new yasser. And that new yasser might be my Frank to my Ann and to my Bonnie. I'm his Bonnie and he's my Clyde. He's my Frank and I'm his Ann. So it's kind of like a diary of Anne Frank, except for at this point in time, at the level of he's my Frank, I'm his Anne, and then I'm his female Frank, and he's my male Frank. Everybody needs one, right? So when we think about that, there's a level of soon enough, instead of looking backwards, you got to look forward. So with that being said, we have to think about all those different things, and we have to find a level and layer of being that type of woman or man to someone. We have to be the one to speak that love language. We have to do a level and layer of understanding it. And then on top of that, being that level of mastery and emotional intelligence helps us to understand. And again, I want you guys to understand it from that place of love and understanding versus a level of, well, I don't know how I'm going to work this out, and I'm not quite so sure how this is going to work out in my marriage. You can call in live, and it's the after show part, 515-602-9765, Cash App Love Offerings, $INCC Coaching, $DonDivaCoaching, and $TeamWorldOnline, and $TalkRadioDiva, or you can go online and you can do a monthly donation that allows us to bring you new and fresh new content every month. And then on top of that, it helps me to expand business and get the commercials and things that I need to build business and become national, international, and things like that, foreign and domestic. You may book your appointments at imccoaching.com, dondivacoaching.com, or teamworld.online for children, adults, and young adults. Or you can go to specialty appointments at imcc.com, and you'll be getting my exclusive appointments and things like that. It'll cost a little bit more as my schedule gets a little bit busy. Cash App, again, $IMCCCoaching, $DonDivaCoaching, $TeamWorldOnline, and then $TalkRadioDiva with Talk Radio Diva, the power to do more. And put a notation if you go to Talk Radio Diva to do monthly donations. And also, I will put up the tip jar and things like that. I'll actually post it for you guys, and you'll be able to send me tips and things like that if you like. And I'm just inviting you to do that. You don't have to, but like I told you guys, I love this. This is not work for me. This is literally something I eat, bleed, what I eat, sleep, bleed, and drink coaching. I love it. It's my thing. It's my forte, and that's my real endless love. And I truly feel like I fell in love with my coaching. I fell in love with myself. And I truly feel like when I finally find my real yasser, my Frank, I'm his aunt to his Frank, and that I'm his aunt of female Frank to him, then there's a level and layer of I'll be his Bonnie, he's my Clyde. So when I say that I look forward to love, I love love, and I love the art of love, but I want the mastery of being someone who masters loving me and knowing my love language, and that I mastering his love language so I can love him the right way. So I won't be his Ruby, and he won't be my Ruby. And we'll both be Yasser and a Yasina, or what we call a Yaris, to his Yasser. So think about that. So with that being said, heart, I hope you guys love the session. Come and see me the next time. I'm going to take you guys on out of here, and give me just one moment. And I want you guys to understand that the actual books and things like that, the journals will be on the website, but they will also be on a level and layer. And I want you guys to understand that. So with that being said, I really am glad you guys are attending the March Madness series. I appreciate all of you, because when I tell you how important it is to have people who have your back, it's Talk Radio Diva, the power to do more. All of y'all's support and y'all's attendance to these lives have made it much more better. And thank you for allowing me to have a safe live. Those of you who attended the live, let me shout you out. Just a moment. That was Mr. Wilkins. And then on top of that, Mr. 313, what's good? What it do, boo? Thank you for coming there and seeing me. I appreciate it. So any of you who are on Facebook, continue to follow Don Diva Coaching, IMCC Coaching, and then on top of that, follow a level and depth of Team World Online, and then on top of that, follow us on Twitter and on Pinterest, and as well as Facebook pages and groups, and join the groups. So with that being said, let me take y'all on out of here, and as always, see you next time.